Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here with me for a Monday, December 21st, 2020. This is edition number 52 as we continue our way through the Sermon on the Mount, season 2 of the Morning Devotional. Again, welcome, and glad to see you. Glad to have you here with me this morning. Let's pray, and then we're going to consider just one verse this morning, but one of extreme importance. Let's pray together. Father, as we come now to your word, we would pray that you'd be very gracious to us, that you might show us your favor and help and grace, that you might be merciful to your people, that you would give us he who you promised, the Spirit that penned these words, that we would indeed behold wonderful things from your word, and that we would have it as a light to our path to guide our lives. May we do it to your glory and to your honor. And for your name's sake, we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to consider very briefly Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 24, and only verse 24. Here the Savior, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Here, Jesus is obviously creating a very, very striking dichotomy that each of us must work through and must wrestle with all of our Christian experience. Simply put, on one pole, on one extreme, we have a master, whatever that may be, whoever it may be. On the other extreme, we have another master, whoever that may be, whatever that may be. And what Jesus is simply saying here is that you cannot serve both. They are antithetical to one another. This master over here is antithetical or opposes the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This kingdom over here is for the kingdom, or this master is for God's kingdom and his righteousness. These are antithetical positions in which the Christian cannot serve both at the same time. He must choose. Either you're going to serve the ways of this world, its culture, its ideologies, its priorities, its desires, or you're going to serve the mandates of the kingdom of Christ. And when Jesus says here that you cannot serve both, he is pressing us as people to realize that if we are serving, indeed serving, or trying to serve both, we are serving neither one. That's exactly his whole point here. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You will choose, you will have to choose whom you serve. It reminds me of what Joshua told the people of Israel towards the end of his life. "Choose this day whom you will serve, but for as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so as a Christian, you cannot rightly say that I love the Lord Jesus Christ and determined to obey all that he has commanded me, because that's exactly what it means to say I'm a Christian, and at the same time follow the ways of this world, the mandates of this world, and the culture, and all that goes with the world that is antithetical, that is in opposition to the very kingdom of God that you just professed you love. And so we must choose. We must recognize that in our daily experience and in the world of our priorities and our relationships, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, we must choose. Are we going to do that with the eye to the glory of God and all that he demands for us in those areas, or if not, then we are choosing, by default, the other end of the spectrum, and that is to live according to the mandates of this world. Perhaps there's no clearer way to evaluate what and who you are serving than how you live on the Lord's Day. Now, I realize there are Christians out there that will not agree with what I'm about to say, and will reject it on its face because they don't like the concept. They don't like its mandates because, frankly, they have determined to choose the way of the world. Now, the Lord's Day is uniquely given to us to flesh out of us that remaining worldliness that lives and resides within us? Why is it that we are tempted? Why is it we are drawn to the fleeting things of this life on a day in which God has set apart and made holy? All the other 6 days were good. Day seven, it's holy. It's set apart. He blessed it. He gave it to man that they might rest, that they might worship. Why is it that this day, of all the days of the week, create this tension for the child of God? It's precisely because we are constantly wrestling with these two positions, the way of the world and the way of the kingdom of God. And so this day, the Lord's Day especially, and I am recording this on the Lord's Day, has a unique way of pressing our hearts and our conscience towards that which we truly love and desire. And my friends, if you don't love the Lord in His day, in a day that is clearly given to us in Scripture, it's highlighted before the fall, it's given to the people of old prior to the inscripturation of the Ten Commandments, it's given in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, it's repeated over and over again throughout the journeys of the people of Israel and through the Old Testament. It's warned about in Isaiah 58. Jesus kept the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, by acts of mercy and ministry and necessity. It is all over the Word of God. To reject the concept is to express, frankly, that worldliness still resides in you, as it does in me, as one who holds to the Lord's Day and seeks to follow it. So, if we won't honor our God and choose that position, that place on the Lord's Day, how can we say we will do that on Tuesday or Thursday? No, indeed, the Lord's Day is uniquely given to flesh out of us this worldliness that still resides in us, that other side of the spectrum, the antithesis of the very kingdom of God. But it's not just on that day. It affects our priorities, what's important to us. Many of us travel, we do things, and when you go on vacation, let me just use that as an illustration. When you go on vacation, do you purpose to be in worship on the Lord's Day? Well, I'm on vacation. Well, so what? You're a Christian. Do you not want to gather with God's people? You have opportunity. Find a church wherever you may be and go. How you spend your money. Is it on the things of this world, the fleeting things of this world, and that's the large majority of where your money goes, and recognizing that we do have bills to pay, that we need to live, but how's your giving in the church? Are you faithfully supporting the work of the ministry in the church in which you're being fed week after week? How about your relationships? Are you in a relationship that detracts from the kingdom of God instead of affirms the kingdom of God and helps you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in a relationship with somebody who doesn't even love the Lord Jesus Christ? How you spend your time? Is it consumed with entertainment and things that seek to destroy and pollute your very soul? All of these matters are wrapped up in these simple words that Jesus lays before us here in this one single verse that is pertinent for all of us to consider. And so let's consider these things. As God's people, we see the world, it's destroyed by sin, it's wrecked by sin, it's falling apart in every respect. Now, sometimes I think the church is really no better. And we ought to be. We need to choose the kingdom of God and His righteousness, setting our minds on things above, looking to Him, walking in all the ways that He has commanded, crying out for help and strength from the Spirit of God who grants it to us as we ask for it. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any questions for me, you can email me. The information is there before you on the screen. So until Tuesday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may He help you to walk according to His purposes. God bless.